Hi, and welcome to the Boat Princess podcast. My name is Nikki Vo, and I'm your host. I am a boat owner, a marina owner, a director on the Marina Industries Association, and a huge advocate for boating. In this series, I'm sharing the stories from every nook of the boating industry with the intention of encouraging more women to join me and for more women to get behind the helm too. I want to share the experience and opportunities of boating, of the boating industry, and I want you to join me as I bring the conversations and answer all the questions you've had. Boating is not just for the glamorous and rich and famous. It's full of beautiful and interesting people, making the most of our natural environment and getting out there, enjoying the waterways. So let's set off the lines, take over the helm, and escape to the world of boating. So, Suzanne Davies, welcome to the Boat Princess podcast. It's awesome to have you here.
Oh, thanks, Nikki. Thanks for the invitation.
I classify you as one of our big hitters in the industry. Yeah, she's done really well, Suzanne. So we're going to share some of that with you today to understand how she got to where she is and what she does. So Suzanne, let's just go back a long way, first of all, into your... Well, it's not that long. I wouldn't be that rude. That's rude. Not that long. So we'll go back into your childhood because you are a very... you are very confident in a room. You have a certain presence, and I don't think you would deny yourself any opportunity if it was given to you. So can we just explore that a little in terms of you as a person? Do you think some of your childhood and upbringing contributed to that?
Yeah, look, I think I was I think my parents would tell you that I was always a child and became a woman that was had very set ideas, and it was very determined, but also very independent. So I sought independence from a very young age. I was, you know, working the first day I could. I had a job. You know, I just liked to know I would make it on my own. So I think that's probably what drives me is it just comes internally.
So you had a strong work ethic right from day one, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. As children, we weren't showered with anything. My parents worked hard. They, you know, spent plenty of money on our education, but they worked really hard to get that. So we certainly weren't spoilt by any means. So I saw them work hard to get what they got, and I do the same.
Yeah, I always say that kids don't do what you say, they do what they see.
Yes.
And if you have hard-working parents, I think you automatically have that strong work ethic because you've seen it, and you see that's what you do to get a comfortable life.
Yes.
So, in terms of your education, where did you go down that path?
So I after completing high school, I went and studied a diploma in hotel management, and I completed that, and I then went and studied, I did a Bachelor of International Business. I did my high schooling and my university in Queensland at Griffith University. So I studied a degree in international business, and at the time I was working for Sheraton Hotels, and they were then seeking graduates. So I applied for a graduate job and was successful in that. And then an opportunity presented to work in the UK, and they were looking for not necessarily graduates, they were just looking for staff in the UK in their worldwide sales office. So I put my hand up. Opportunity presented itself one day, and 2 weeks later I was sitting in London. So,
and what age were you then?
I would have been about 20, early
20s. Yeah. That's brave. That's cool.
Yeah. So went over there and spent a couple of years working for Sheraton over there, and then came back with Sheraton and continued on. So I spent quite a long time with Sheraton, and that was mainly in that sort of sales and marketing space. And then I worked for Marriott for a little while as well, for a few years as
well.
In
the UK still?
No, that was after coming back to Australia.
Okay.
And then I stepped out of the industry, stepped out of hotels for a short period of time and spent a bit of time in education. So I was doing some lecturing of undergraduate students in hotel management, mainly around human resource management and quality management.
Where was that?
That was at Billy Blue, at William Blue Hotel Management School. And then I was also doing a bit of consulting and training around that time as well. So, and at the time I did some consulting to the Royal Prince Alfred Yacht Club. And
that was
my entree to the marine industry. And I'm really fortunate, really grateful for that, because that was what gave me the introduction really to life on the water, you know, and enjoying recreating on the water. So, I'm very fortunate to, you know, live in Newport. So we live by the water now. We don't have a boat right now. We haven't had a boat for a couple of years, and we thought about, it's about time we get a new boat, but you can't buy a boat at the moment.
I know.
It's terrible.
I know. Everybody wants a boat at the moment.
You can, so. You just got to have a lot more money.
Yeah, it's really interesting at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even the personal watercrafts the stock is hard to get hold of. So it's a really interesting time. I think the boating industry prior to COVID was sort of twiddling its thumbs as to how to get more people into boating, and now we're like, okay, everybody's here, which is fantastic. And it's wonderful to have so many people entering this lifestyle that previously hadn't even thought about doing it. But yeah, some of us having trouble getting boats.
Yeah. So I guess the challenge now is to make sure we retain all these new people and retain them in boating once the borders reopen, and hopefully we keep them in boating for the rest of their lives.
Well, I think the wonderful thing about boating is once you get into that habit of being a boater, you tend to not get out of it, because it is a fantastic sensation going boating.
Yep.
So it's a wonderful lifestyle that we all enjoy. So that's good. Now, you talked about that opportunity when you were consulting at the Royal Prince Alfred Yacht Club. Was that something that you applied for specifically to consult on, or did you have a connection that created that opportunity?
I just had a website with various things I could do. It was actually not long after my son was born, so it was in that sort of juggling motherhood and part-time work space. You know, I need to work. My family know I need to work. My family prefer it if I work. So I had a website that outlined the consulting that I could do and the training, et cetera. And they were seeking experience in that space. So I did a couple of jobs for them, and then they asked me to take on a management review, which I did. So and then they asked whether I would stay on. So
so that's interesting. You went actually from having your own company to back to working for somebody again. How did that feel? Was that hard for you, or did you feel more comfortable being an employee again? Or
look, I think that time in that space, it gives you a lot more flexibility with what you can do, but it also gives you a really great variety, you know, it gives you an amazing sense of variety of what you can do. So, you know, you're training one day, or doing a marketing plan for somebody another day, or working on a magazine or whatever it might be. So I enjoyed that. I must say I do like working for an organisation where I can actually see a goal, achieve the results. So working, I guess, in that space of that sort of consulting space, you're doing a lot of things and you're not necessarily seeing the final result of that, whether that's, you know, commercial returns or satisfaction from members if you're in that membership space or whatever. So, yeah.
Mm. And when you first came into the boating industry, was there any differences you really noticed between it and hospitality? Or
like I was the only female around. In fact, when I started, I think I was one of the only general managers, female general managers in the country in a yacht club. And then Karen Baldwin started not long after me at the Royal Motor Yacht Club.
She's another
and
woman.
And that was great.
Yeah, admire greatly. Yep.
It was fantastic, actually, because we just had a really nice association where we could bounce things around each other. So I think we then, with a couple of the guys from other states, I got together and said, oh, we should talk as a group, as a yacht club managers group more mm-hmm. frequently. There's a lot we can learn and share and ways that we can develop the sport as well if we're talking together. And so we did that, and at the first meeting we had in 2011 in South Australia, and there were 35 people in the room, and there were two of us that were female, and it was Karen and I.
There you go. Yeah.
So there's quite a few more now, though.
Yeah, there is quite a few more. But you still, when you go to a boating conference or you do find there's a lot of men and just a few women in the room.
Yes.
But it is changing.
Yes.
It is absolutely changing. Yeah. So you were at the Royal Prince Alfred Yacht Club.
And not then, the hospital.
Yes. Not the hospital. And you were then offered another position as CEO to Dalborough Marinas. Now, how did that come about for you?
So I was just asked if I would be interested in that role, which I was. I was ready to go back into the commercial space. I felt like I had sort of, I guess I've been working in a membership-based organisation for a long time.
So we're talking club as opposed to...
As a club, yes. And your goals are very different and, in fact, a lot less clear in a club because they're very hard to define in a commercial space. It's a commercial return for the owners. And obviously to do that along the way, you've got to satisfy a lot of stakeholders, particularly customers. So it's not that it's profit at all costs. It's actually balancing a whole range of issues to produce a good commercial return. And, so I just felt that there was some unfinished business in that space. So that was my attraction to going back into a commercial setting.
And obviously that was an expansion in your career too, because it was moving from one operation to a multitude of marinas as well, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah.
So how many marinas did Dalborough have at the time?
There were seven at the time and they now have 10, so yeah.
Mm.
And then step back into a membership-based organisation again as in the Marina Industries Association.
So you're CEO there.
Yes.
And can you tell us what the Marina Industries Association actually does?
Sure. I'd love to.
Funny that.
So we're the peak body really for the marinas and boatyards in not just this country but in our region. Most of our members are, 75% of our members are Australian-based organisations. But we also have a lot of contact, not just with the marinas and the boatyards, but obviously suppliers to the industry as well. So we do provide a lot of sort of leadership and guidance for the industry. We do any advocacy we do, we tend to band together with the boating industry associations. We work very closely with them in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And then we really work around the areas of accreditation, environmental accreditations, and the Gold Anchor accreditation as well. And then we look at careers. So we spend a lot. We do a lot of work in the in educating and training the mm-hmm. industry, and we've just been developing some new programs as well for the industry. So
that's exciting.
They're everything from introductory programs for young people joining the industry, right through to the senior management programs, which are sort of heavy 5-day residential courses,
yep.
Where they complete a capstone project, and once they've completed that, they can then apply to become an accredited or a certified marina manager.
What's a capstone project?
So that's a project generally in their second course in the advanced marina management course, where they look at a site, and they actually have to take it right through a whole redevelopment plan. Okay. So they look at the structure and how it can be improved, and then what kind of commercial returns it has the capacity to generate.
Yep.
What kind of investment is required, obviously, to get it there, and how it can then service the market.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a lot of what we do, and as I mentioned earlier, we will be putting together in conjunction with the Boating Industry Association, we're going to be launching Marine Jobs very soon.
Yep.
Which will be a career platform for our industry, so hopefully everyone jumps on board, but that will be a recruitment.
Jumps on board, very good.
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry, pardon the pun. That will be not just a recruitment space, but it will also provide resources for our industry. And soon we'll be launching a mariner's guide too, which will have information on where all the mariners right around the country are. And
that's
all the
great.
Boat guards are too. So
yeah, because there's actually, 300 mariners or so in Australia?
Yeah, just over 300.
Yeah, we don't necessarily know where they are. What they are or what facilities they have. So that's fantastic. And that would lead into your Gold Anchor program that you have for mariners. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So the Gold Anchor program is a program that it's a voluntary program, obviously. So it's like having stars on your hotel.
Yep.
They're anchors on your marina.
Yep.
And it outlines across sort of six different areas. We audit 86 criteria, I think it is, 86 criteria across six broad categories. And those categories are everything from customer service to environmental compliance and proactivity in that area as well. And then, of course, the facilities, both onshore and on-water facilities. And then also the processes and procedures that the marina has to manage its operations too. So all those marinas that have gold anchors will be identified on the mariner's guide as well, so they'll have a little anchor sign with them.
Yep.
But that should be a good passage planning tool for boaties to work out where they're going to go and where they can have their next set of next bit of maintenance done if they need it while they're on their cruise.
Yep, that's awesome. With the Gold Anchor program, I know at Empire Marina Bowman Head we're a platinum Gold Anchor,
yes,
and that
are.
Has taken a lot of work to get there and to stay there too. And I think what's brilliant about that program is it's a really good audit of your own business.
Yes.
To work out what you're doing well and what can be done better, and it kind of makes you do things in the process on the way through to achieve those levels of requirements, and even things like I know we've entered the restaurant award at the moment and we're finalists. Which we're very excited about, but that isn't just about the food or the location, because obviously we've got a fantastic location, but it's about community engagement, it's about how we treat our staff, so I think what's really interesting about your particular awards and your accreditations is that they go into a lot more than just the face of it, if you like, and I think that's a really important part of what the MIA does.
Look, sites spend the marinas spend a lot of time preparing for the audit, so it's not just send an auditor out and be audited. The sites spend a lot of time preparing for that audit because they do use it. It's not just about flying the flag and saying, look, we're a fabulous facility. It's actually a great audit point in time that you can actually run through your business and check and ensure that you've got everything as you want it. And so that and the Clean Marina program is the same. It's just a great opportunity to review your business practices.
And I know a differentiation between yourselves and the hospitality industry is the hospitality industry and those awards and things like that, as far as I'm aware, it's just a submission process, whereas you physically go out and inspect those properties and check that they are actually doing everything that they say in their submission, don't you?
Yes, yeah. So the an independent auditor assesses the gold anchors and an environmental assessor assesses the clean marinas. Yep.
It's great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Suzanne, for coming in and seeing us today. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks, Nikki. No, it's been a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me, and hopefully we'll do more.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Suzanne Davies. I certainly did, and I must say it's an aspect of doing this podcast I really enjoy, that I get to dive a little deeper into the lives of the people I work with and the people I am associated with, and get to know them a little more, maybe perhaps a little more than I would do in a normal meeting or work situation. So it's a great thing to do when you're doing a podcast. Also, hearing that conversation back again, Sutherland Shire Podcast Station produce my podcast, and they send it to me a few days before it's due to be issued to listen to it and make sure that I'm happy with it and that the client will be happy with it and so on and so forth. And it's fascinating to do that when you've done it perhaps a couple of months beforehand, and you re-listen to it and you find some things that you hadn't really thought about at the time. In this particular interview, for example, the similarities between my career path and Suzanne's are actually staggering. I was in five-star hotel space, and then I went to lecturing of hotel management at the Manly Hotel Management School, and then I went into boating industry. So it's incredible, that similarity. And there's a lot of people I am going to speak to, women in the boating industry. It will be interesting to see if a pattern emerges between hospitality and marinas. If you'd like to know more about the MIA, of which Suzanne is the CEO, you can go to marinas.net.au. And the marine jobs site that she was talking about in relation to positions available within the marine industry, that is marinejobs.org.au. Now, if you're looking for some extra lockdown reading material, I know it's tough for those in Sydney and surrounds at the moment, then if you go to my new website, theboatprincess.com, you can sign up for my newsletter, and in doing so, you'll actually be sent a code for complimentary digital access to the subscription of Ocean Magazine, which is fantastic reading, all about boats, all about luxury lifestyle, a brilliant magazine, very well put together. So that is the digital access for subscription, and that's free because you're signing up to my newsletter until January 2022. So I hope you enjoy that. I hope you are all safe and sound in lockdown. Please take care of yourselves. And if you'd like to get in contact, just follow me on Instagram at The Boat Princess, and perhaps leave me a comment on today's picture of our podcast so that we can get an idea of what you thought about it. That'd be lovely. Take care, and we'll see you on the water soon.